get to this meeting and lost out on all of the seats.
Okay, hold on. Let me just do a little intro here. Okay, so this is the recorder. It's all electronic. Okay, so you see when I talk, the meter goes up, and that's where the microphone is. It's right here. And I'm now talking basically to the people on the internet. They haven't heard it yet.
So they'll hear my voice?
They're hearing it right now. Say something. What's your name?
Janet.
Janet? Here, say it again so you can see the meter go.
Janet.
Okay. And where are we right now?
We're just flying out of Atlanta.
And where are we going?
Going to New Orleans.
That's right. And to everybody, this is Morning Coffee Notes, and I'm Dave Weiner. And I was talking with Janet here on the airplane, and we were talking about what it's like in New Orleans now, and what? Oh, the moon.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. Don't worry about it. And we were talking about what it was like in New Orleans. We're not going to be able to see the meter because the screen dims out after a while to save batteries. So you just know that it's recording it as long as I'm holding this. So we were talking about New Orleans, and Janet told me that you lost your house in the hurricane. And she started to tell me the story, and I said, hold on to the story. Wait until I can get the recorder on, if you don't mind, so that we can do this. It's called a podcast.
Okay.
So this is something that people will listen to on their iPods. Right? So where were you when Katrina hit?
We were vacationing outside of St. Augustine, Florida, visiting my in-laws. We had left that Friday morning.
Right.
And we flew. And when we left, we were worried that it was going to go to where we were going in Florida. And we did, take down our patio furniture, things that people in New Orleans are used to doing when they hear about a storm in the Gulf. But we had had a few threats during the summer, like Dennis.
Where did Dennis actually land?
Dennis ended up really hurting Destin.
Right.
The panhandle.
Right.
Yeah. So we left pretty much feeling secure that it wasn't going to hit New Orleans. And we were worried about wind damage more than anything because we lived across the street from a park that has a lot of trees. So we went on our vacation. And Friday was fun. And Friday night I called one of my sisters, because coincidentally, my sister and my mother, who both live in separate houses, were taking my nephew to college down in Southern Florida. My mother was riding with my sister, and my sister was dropping her off in Tampa. My mother has never gone to visit her sister, her twin sister, since she's moved to Tampa. So I was out of town, my sister was out of town, and my mother was out of town.
And they're all, every one of you all live in New Orleans, then?
Yeah, well, my mother lives in New Orleans. My sister lives in a suburb called Metairie, which is right across the 17th Street Canal.
Right.
So I called my sister and I said, look, I'm getting a little anxious. Would you go over to our house and bring in the patio furniture because I'm scared it's going to blow into the back door.
Right.
And then I woke up really early Saturday morning and I listened to the news and I was anxious about that they were evacuating. Now, my sister and my mother are already on the road taking my nephew to college. So I call them, and they're on WWL, which is like the lifeline to any local to news in New Orleans. And she said, they're back. They're going to do mandatory evacuation. Well, I called Southwest, and we got a return ticket because our dog had been boarded at the vet, and we were sick about it. I called the vet, and they were closing at noon on Saturday. And I said, what are you going to do with the animals? And they said, well, we don't know. The big ones we might not be able to take with us. Put the big ones upstairs.
They might not be able to take the big
take
ones?
Take the big ones with them.
So was your dog one of the big ones?
Ladies and gentlemen, the government has requested that everyone remain seated with their seatbelt securely fastened.
Give them a second.
Until the seatbelt sign has been turned off. We've reached an altitude where fridge electronic devices may now be used. Unless there are fridge electronic devices, can be found in the in-flight information section of Sky Magazine, which is located in your seat pocket.
Okay,
so was
your dog a big dog? Or?
Yeah, it's a 50-pound Springer.
Right.
So we immediately started to try to find people to get our dog, and we called one of our neighbors, and they were leaving, and we got them to take our porch furniture and put it on the ground, and we finally got in touch with my stepdaughter in Baton Rouge, and she drove back into the city when people were leaving to get the dog. So
So your dog's all right?
My dog's great. Yeah. He got out. Actually, the place where we had him boarded ended up being okay. And so we didn't
So that wasn't in the Lakeview section?
Well, it was only like 3 miles from my house. But it was
right?
on the Metairie side. It didn't flood.
Right.
It was on the other side of the canal. It was other than Lakeview. West Lakeview.
We're going to get into that in a bit, right?
Yeah. So we stayed. And
you stayed in Florida.
Stayed in Florida. And Sunday, we were very anxious. We bought a transistor radio because we knew we could pick up WWL.
Really?
Yeah, you can pick it up at night pretty much all over the country. It's 870 AM. It's a great radio station. Great reporting. And we
Are they broadcasting now?
Oh, they broadcast through the whole thing.
At least they're broadcasting now, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
and they were telling people, they were telling the officials where to go get people out of houses.
Wow.
So they were like the lifeline.
So they became like a community radio station.
Oh, it's a local AM radio station.
Right.
And it has syndicated programs on it, you know, during the day.
Right.
But we knew to tune into that. We knew we could pick it up. I mean, when you grow up in an area that has hurricanes, you forget about the television. So electricity goes out. Everybody has a battery-operated radio.
Right.
So my husband and I went to Target and got our battery-operated radio, even though we were in a place where we had TV.
Right.
Because we wanted to listen to the local news. We didn't want to listen to the national news. Because when you don't know what it's like, it gets exaggerated.
Right.
So we listened, and we went to bed, and we woke up Monday, and I had, I worked for a local bank, and I was on a conference call, and we talked about how everything was in the city, and I didn't get a lot of detail, but they said there was minimal flooding, and Lakeview had 3 to 4 feet in the streets, and our house was 8 years old, and it's built 4 feet above sea level. And it's built above to code, and it's built to the flood code, so we are above sea level. And so we were not required to have flood insurance. We had just renewed our flood insurance a month before. There have been years where we thought, well, let's not spend the extra $800. We don't need it. And when we went to bed the night of the storm, we were really worried about the wind. We were worried this palm tree was going to fall on our roof. And so Monday, we went to the beach. You know, we just relaxed, we were on vacation. We canceled our trip, we were supposed to return on Monday. We changed our flight to Tuesday. And Monday night, I was brushing my teeth and my husband was listening to WWL.
Ladies and gentlemen, the seatbelt sign has been turned off, indicating a 6 feet throughout the cabin. We strongly recommend that you use the seatbelt when seated. Please use caution opening overhead doors and please close them securely. In just a few minutes, flight attendants will begin their after service in the cabin to lift up our beverages and camping down.
This makes it authentic, by the way.
Yeah.
This is what we like. It's not high production value, but we like it that it's sort of...
There's a $5 charge in our main cabin. Great change would be greatly appreciated.
So anyway, you know, we went to the beach and we talked to friends that evacuated. And Sunday was really scary because two of my good friends were going to stay. And they were going to go to a hotel downtown, but the hotel called and told them they were canceling all reservations. And that the thing we heard about was the wind damage, which happened mostly in the other part of the city. And we didn't have any neighbors we could call about our house, but we felt pretty confident that we were okay. And Monday night, my husband was listening to WWL on the radio all the way down, you know, in Jacksonville. And he heard a report that there was a breach in the levee at the 17th Street Canal at 40th and Bel Air Drive. Well, we live at 38th. And my heart just sunk. Because I knew our house was gone. And my husband was more optimistic than I was. And I thought, oh my God, it's going to be wiped off the slab. I didn't really understand how the leak was slow and then it broke open from the bottom. Because the water did not come over the top, the bottom foundation, the sheet metal, wasn't dug in deep enough. It eroded from the bottom, which ripped it open.
So does that mean that the water came in quickly or slowly?
Well, you know, what's really interesting is a few weeks later, LSU put out a notice in the local newspaper in Baton Rouge where we were living, and they asked all residents of West Lakeview if they had battery-operated clocks to call in. They were trying to gauge the time, and we eventually didn't get back into our house until after Hurricane Rita. So we didn't get back in for like a month. And I had two battery operated clocks, one on my nightstand and one on my vanity in the bathroom, which were both about waste time, about
this is a one-story house?
One-story house. Yeah. We're built high up.
Right.
We're built 4 feet up off the ground. So if you parked at my house, you kind of go up a little bit and you walk up four brick steps and then you go in.
Okay.
My clock, my battery operated clock, had 220 on it. And I'm assuming that was 2:20 p.m.
Okay.
Now, I have since read articles that said the levee broke in the morning. And I'm sure I don't have the time for
it. So that would make it slow, then?
Yeah, and some neighbors that I don't even know their names, they saw my husband's daughter at a shelter in Baton Rouge. She's a nursing school student. She was volunteering. And she said, hey, don't you live, you know, on the park, and don't y'all have that dog that always sits out in front of the porch? She's like, yeah. She goes, he said, well, we were there. We stayed, and everything was okay. And then the next thing we knew, we were on our roof for a half of a day, and they got evacuated from their roof.
Wow.
And they had a two-story house. And when we could finally get on the websites and look at the satellite images, if we typed in our address, it said 12 feet of water. But because we were higher up, we had a new house, we pretty much at the street level of our house, the pictures, the water lines are buried, because you can tell where it was and then it came down over time. Because they didn't, our neighborhood, I think, was the second to last one to get pumped out. St. Bernard and the Ninth Ward and Lakeview. We had 8 feet of water in our house for at least a week plus. So we were down in Florida. We didn't know what to do. Went to go see my mom in Tampa. We didn't know what her house was like. Nobody could get back in. And that was really, really hard, not being able to get back in. And then you start getting hopeful. Like someone will call you and tell you, oh, I saw the rallies, hamburger sign, near your house. It was above water. And you keep on thinking that it's not as bad as it could be. And so finally, some friends of mine that had evacuated up to Alabama called me and said, you know, we talked to somebody who talked to someone that took an airboat. Your house is underwater. And it's just one of the most awful feelings. You know, and so you start, you don't sleep, you fall asleep, you wake up, you start imagining stuff. You know, is it floating? Is it...
I like something to drink, so
no, thank you.
Oh, Diet Coke.
And you start trying to figure out, well, what could still be saved? And because we didn't evacuate, we got nothing out. But in one of our closets, we had put a lot of my husband's old pictures in these plastic containers of his kids and stuff. And once we got in, we did get that out. But what had happened is it got so hot, everything started to sweat and ferment. Like we could find negatives of old pictures, but they were stuck together. We got some china out, but that's about it. That's it. You know, we lost everything. And all my neighbors lost everything. And I have a lot of neighbors that were elderly on a fixed income and rented, like they lived in doubles. That's what we call them in the woods. You remember what a double is? You live in one side, you rent the other.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know, they've lost everything. So we went to Baton Rouge. Some friends of my sister's that I'd never met offered us their pool house. I mean, just people wanted to do something for you. And then we eventually got an apartment, and we just bought a house in Metairie, and we're going back.
So there are parts of Metairie that are all right?
Oh, yeah.
Or lots of parts of Metairie?
Lots of parts. It's really weird. The oldest part of the city that typically floods when it rains really hard, that the pumps and the canals bring the water out down the canal into the lake. So the pumps did their job, but then when the levees started giving away from the bottom and backing up and the levee walls broke, it just caused everything to come in. I mean, the best articles to read are the ones that are being written about the engineering studies, the independent studies that are being done there's a group, and I don't know what they're called, but it was two professors from LSU, a professor from a university in California, his last name's BA. There was a fantastic Nova special on it that they interviewed him on. That's pretty much.
You sure it was Nova, not Frontline?
I didn't see Frontline.
I saw the Frontline one.
Maybe it was. What happened
with me? It was stirring. It was absolutely stirring.
Did they interview all those professors?
You know, my memory is not so good. I mean, there were professors on it, but I don't know if it was those professors.
My experience is very different than someone that lived it and evacuated because I was so removed. And by the time I got back into Louisiana, it was almost a week. I didn't have any exposure to, hands-on. I mean, I've heard some horror stories.
You were never in danger.
And
you didn't have to come back until you weren't in danger.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so when you came back, you went to Baton Rouge.
Yeah. I was very protected in that sense. But, my husband and I talk about it now. And my sister says, I know you are. You would have stayed. You would have gone to mom's, which is higher up. It's called Metairie Ridge. You would have gone to her house. And because we would have flown back in Saturday afternoon, gotten the dog, and he wouldn't have wanted to get on the road. He would have stayed. We wouldn't have stayed in our house because we're so close to the lake. And the wind is usually a problem.
So maybe somebody would have died then.
No, because my mom's house got 4 feet of water, and it's ruined because what I've learned now about floods is in a regular flood, there's no regular flood, I'm not trying to minimize a flood in any way, but what I heard someone say on the radio, FEMA was designed for a flood where you can get back in within a few days.
Right.
And there was a flood up in Pittsburgh, I think, or New Jersey. They had a harbor flood a few weeks ago. And they had horrible flooding, but the water comes in and comes out.
Right.
It didn't.
No, it can't come out of New Orleans, right?
Right, and it came out of some areas quicker than others, but certainly not my neighborhood, because I lived 2.5 blocks from the break. So my mom, who had 5 feet of water in her house.
You lived 2.5 blocks from the break. That's
one of the breaks.
One of the breaks.
The 17th Street Canal break.
So yeah. Now you said before we turned the recorder on, that the water in that area
did not top the levee.
And it didn't come from, it came from the city.
Well, what happens is that the 17th Street Canal, and I'm not an engineer, but, and I don't know.
You become an engineer, though,
pretty
much.
Well, what happens is that the pumps get turned on and off based on the floodwaters. And it's operated by engineers, and they know when to turn them off and turn them on. And they do it to get the rainwater out of the city. Right. I can't talk about what happened at the Industrial Canal, the 9th Ward, or New Orleans East. Had horrible damage. Parts of Metairie got really bad damage. But all I know is that the canal that I grew up on my whole life never had to have flood insurance in any house I ever lived in because just flood zone A hadn't flooded in 100 plus years. That canal brought the water from the city out into the lake. That's the job it was built to do. And from what I've read and what I believe to be true, because we now know at the 17th Street Canal, the water did not top the levees, right. It did not come over the levee. There's still people that want to find out if the wind blew some water over the levee. Because I have flood insurance and I have homeowners insurance, but I will not get a penny for homeowners insurance. Because I had no wind damage. I didn't lose a shingle. I didn't lose a window from the flood. We had no wind damage in our house. We only had flood.
So what does that mean when you say that you'll get flood
insurance? I will not get homeowners.
What is
insurance.
The net effect on that? That you won't get compensated?
Homeowners insurance is for wind, rain, hail.
But does that mean you will not be able to rebuild with the insurance money? Or?
Well, I won't get any settlement on the homeowners insurance. So all the money we pay over the years for our homeowners policy. Homeowners policy is different than a flood.
Right.
And I don't think a lot of people, I didn't know that. My husband knew that. My husband understood it. I'm saying, what do we have on homeowners? What do we have on flood? He goes, well, Janet Lee, unless we get rain or wind, we're not going to get homeowners. We didn't have a shingle off of our roof. When we could look on the web and see our house in a satellite, my husband said, look, there's our deck. It wasn't our deck. It was the roof of the deck. I'm laughing about it now. So.
You weren't laughing then.
Just, you're dying for information. You're working with people that are getting in before you, or have someone who knew someone who
could
get
a
boat.
How could that be better? How could we improve that? In other words, do you have any ideas, any specific things? I mean, you realize you're talking to people right now that do make information systems. Some of the people that did the website that you were seeing those pictures on may well be listening to this.
I don't know, in hindsight...
You didn't get all the information, or did you get all?
Now that I know what happened, I got probably more than I could have ever dreamed of, but at the time, I didn't know how bad it was. Hindsight's 2020.
Right.
It's
yeah.
amazing that within less than a few weeks, we could pull up our address and see a satellite
that
picture
is amazing, isn't
of our
it?
Backyard. My husband recognized the trees in our
But we
backyard.
Were all doing that too, you know. I mean,
yeah.
the rest of the world was able to see from these websites what
yeah.
was going on and get the sense of horror at the devastation.
But,
and
you know, I was
that.
Insulated. I was out of the state. I didn't hear the horror story. I wasn't watching CNN. I wasn't watching the news.
No.
I was down in Florida in a house that didn't have cable television.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
All I had was a radio.
Interesting.
I mean, we went to this hotel near where we were staying, and I'd get on the internet. But you can only, when you're going through that, you can only absorb so much information. I was more interested in finding friends.
Sure.
Finding out if everybody was okay. Trying to figure out how to reach people. Do you know anything? You know, getting the city was evacuated. We couldn't talk to anybody that knew anything. You know, once we realized how bad it was in our neighborhood, we were more concerned about my mom. And we were hopeful that her house would be okay, but she lived on a 4-block street, and the first 2 blocks were bone dry. Last 2 blocks had 5 to 6 feet of water. And the water seeks the low ground and fills up to, when we started to look for a place to live, believe it or not, as much water as we got in my neighborhood, as much as 12 feet, less than 3 miles from my house, there's a part of Lakeshore that didn't flood. The 4 streets, surrounded by just massive disaster. We gotta go look at a house that has electricity, water and gas less than 3 miles from our house in the middle of all of it that we could live in right now if we wanted to. We won't have electricity probably in our neighborhood for 6 months.
So what, okay, if we went to New Orleans, which I'm doing by the
yeah.
way, right, what will I see?
Well, you'll come in from the airport and you'll see some blue roofs, but
well,
it's a lot cleaner
right.
than yeah. it was. I mean, every
but
time
the I-10 is open all the way through,
yeah.
right? Yeah.
But when you get to the I-10, this is what's going to be interesting for you. You're going to come in at night. When you get into the city and you cross the parish line, we don't have counties in Louisiana, we have parishes. When you cross the Jefferson Parish line, look to your left towards the lake. It will be pitch black. It's pitch black.
Well, maybe we'll see that when we fly over, huh?
I don't know, but Friday night we were in town, and we've been in town a lot. And we've spent the night with friends, family, and when we would go home at night, I would get really sad because we weren't going to our house. You know, spending the night at my sister's less than 2 miles away, and I'm not going home. I don't think I've ever spent the night at my sister's.
Isn't that, must be a weird feeling.
I'm used to it, but so Friday night we went to a Christmas party, and my husband, who normally doesn't want to go do that, he said, "You want to go?" And I said, "Yeah, let's go." And we went, and it was about 10:30, and I don't know if there's a curfew, but we saw a few Hummers. They didn't stop us, and we pulled up to our house in pitch black. On the way there, we saw 2 houses lit up. People living in the upstairs. That's what a lot of people are doing now, living in the upstairs of their houses with generators.
Is that safe? If the house flooded?
Well, as long as you've remediated, you rip out everything, and you do the bleach treatment, yeah.
It's safe.
It's safe. Now, the only thing we've taken out of our house is the refrigerator. We had someone do that Saturday. But we went to our house at night, And there's this beautiful moon. We live less than 2 miles from the lake. And, you know, it's very, very sad. But that's part of letting go. You find yourself, every time we go in town, we don't go to the house because we're pretty much finished digging through everything. Like, we went Saturday because all of our Christmas decorations were in the garage. And I just had this, you know, everything's so weird with a flood. The china cabinet that weighs probably 100 pounds floated down the hall, but a bowl that weighs less than a pound is still on the dining room table that's rotting. But the cabinets are starting to fall off all of our walls from the rotting. We haven't gutted our house. What we think we're going to do is totally bulldoze it and wait to see what happens. I mean, I'm having this fantasy. It's not a fantasy, it's reality. After the dust settles, I truly believe that my community will be one of the premier communities with new plumbing, new lighting, new infrastructure, hopefully world-class levee system. And it will be a beautiful green space, and it'll be one of the premier neighborhoods of the city. Now, some people would say, should that neighborhood ever have been there? It's part of the lake that they pumped in. It's below sea level.
So what do you say?
A lot of people live in San Francisco.
That's true. It burned down.
Yeah, my family's been there for over 100 years. That neighborhood I lived in hadn't flooded for over 125 years. As disappointed as I am in the engineering flaws of the levee, I do have faith that the next levee will be better.
Are you more civically active now than you were before?
I haven't been to one civic. We have a neighborhood association, and my neighbors have been going. I haven't been to one, and it's not because I don't want to go.
Maybe I didn't ask the question right then. I mean, when you talk about the rebuilding of the city, it sounds like you have a vision for that. So, what I'm asking is, were you a visionary for New Orleans before this?
What was
life like for you? There's the question. What was life like for you before Katrina?
Middle class, go to work, see friends, afford one or two nice vacations a year, get together with family, eat some good food, go to the jazz fest.
So how would you compare the quality of your life now versus before? Quality in sort of a sense of In every sense, you know. Obviously, when people talk about quality of life, usually they think in terms of, you know, how much money are you making and how many vacations do you go on. That's not what I'm talking about.
You mean the richness of
the
my...
quality of it.
Well, I feel like I don't have as many choices as I had before. I mean, the weekends are very, very difficult.
But in a big sense, don't you have far more choices than you?
Yeah, let me rephrase that. As far as what my husband and I would do, you know, part of our life, what we do on the weekends. Our home was, you know, something we recently renovated 2 years ago because, as most people in the South get, we had termites. And we had a lot of work done in our house. We had just re-landscaped the yard. We put a fountain in, which, by the way, we did save our fountain.
That's great.
It didn't float away, thank you. The motor is shot, but we went and got the fountain.
Every little victory, right?
Yeah. My quality of life, I have this unbelievable feeling of overwhelming being blessed. I mean, imagine my sister calls me before I get back to Louisiana and says, I have a neighbor who wants to do something for somebody. And
wants to what?
Wants to do something for someone that lost their house. And they have a pool house, and she wants you to come by and see it and see if y'all would live there. I said, I don't need to come by and see it. My God, we live in their garage. And what people want to do for you is so overwhelming. I feel guilty. I feel, you know, people that lost supposedly nothing look at me and say they feel guilty. I feel guilty. I still have my job. We're going to buy another house. I have my old house.
Why do you feel guilty?
Because there's so many people that lost their jobs, their homes. They had no flood insurance.
Can you help them?
I'm when we get settled, I'm going to do some volunteer work that will
You know
that
Tulane has, when Tulane starts up, they have a rule that all the students have to do community work.
Oh, the articles in the newspapers have been phenomenal. I just read in the Times-Picayune yesterday, the schools that have opened, there's a school called the McGee Girls, School for Girls. They just went on a field trip out in Lakeview and New Orleans East. And I mean, I'm sitting here talking to you all about Lakeview. The Mississippi Gulf Coast is obliterated. Obliterated. And I have friends that lived there. Just, it's just, it doesn't even exist. And the scope of the damage, the one thing that most people ask me is, why would you want to go back? And what I wish people would ask instead is, why did the Corps of Engineers build a levee that was not built as it was supposed to be? Why wasn't there more checks and balances of how that levee was constructed? Why did the Corps of Engineers not coordinate with the local entities? Why ask me why I'm going back? I would meet strangers at a department store when I'm buying shoes, and they hear me giving out all these addresses, and this complete stranger looks at me and goes, why don't you go back? They look at me like there's something wrong with me, like I'm stupid.
Where was this?
It'll be a department store anywhere.
Where? Like in Atlanta or
Baton
Rouge?
I don't remember where I was. It happens to me everywhere.
But it wasn't in New Orleans.
Oh, no. No.
New Orleans people don't have a question about why they go back. Nobody asks you that.
Well, but I have to respect.
Or do they?
No, they don't. But I work with a lot of people from out of town through my job. I talk to a lot of people. But I have to respect their questioning of it.
Of course.
You know, they're people.
I'm sure it's a sincere question.
It is. But I wish they would ask more about why did this happen. I read an article in one of the papers, you know, right after it happened, that was a chronological events of how they think we got to this point. And I don't remember who wrote it, but at the end of the article, the question was, why? The question should have been asked 20 years ago. It's not just the government's fault, it's just not the city's fault.
Would we have listened, though, had the questions been asked 20 years ago?
You know, from what I've read, and this is not my opinion, but from what I've read, I think that the priorities got shifted away from us flooding because we had been so lucky. But now that I know that they're looking at a structural engineering mistake, who would catch the pilings not being driven in deep enough? What kind of quality control? I don't know. And I mean, that wasn't the only reason. I just listened to a talk radio show two nights ago, and there's a huge nutria problem in the city at the levees. Nutria burrow into the bottom of the levees. There's a theory floating around that they're part of the problem.
What are nutria?
Okay, nutria are rodents, and I guess the best way I can describe what a nutria does is they like to get in these little pools of water, and they like to feed off of the vegetation. And so the levees and the canals
the
are a perfect
are,
place for
yeah,
them
they
to,
love the
to
levees,
live.
Yeah, right.
And Jefferson Parish had a horrible nutrient problem. And you know, it's so complicated. And I guess a lot of people say to go back, they need to know that the levees will be a Category 5. I need to understand what kind of checks and balances are going to be in place to monitor the parts and pieces that have to be coordinated in addition to the levee. The levee height isn't the only issue. But that's just me. That's one person's opinion. And I'm certainly not plugged into any of the politics. I'm not, you know, it's just what I've chosen to read. I've chosen not to read a lot of the finger-pointing articles because I want to be educated on the technical side so I can understand what to do with my
property.
Do you
feel that there's anything that you can do to help New Orleans come back?
Or? Yeah, I'm doing
By going back?
I am passionate about being part of the rebuilding. And what am I going to do personally? I don't know yet.
Well, it may be a very unique opportunity. There haven't been that many American cities that have been rebuilt in the last whatever, in our lifetimes.
We bought a house in Metairie. I told my husband, I said, I wish we were buying a house in New Orleans, but we can't afford the houses uptown. they're real expensive right now.
Are they? Yeah, because they're floodproof, right?
I mean, yeah.
Or they're flood resistant, at least.
We bought a
how
house.
How do you feel about people in Uptown? I mean, how does it feel when you look at people that lived in New Orleans, bought houses in Uptown or in the Garden District, or that didn't flood at all, and their lives are...
Oh, I'm thrilled. I mean, one of the hardest things for me at the beginning of the storm, once I realized what had happened, is when I would talk to some of my girlfriends that were all displaced, every time I asked them how they were doing, they wanted to ask me how I was doing. And finally, I had to say, could you please complain to me? I don't care if you're upset that you can't go in and get your clothes. Don't feel guilty. Let's have our normal relationship.
So maybe you shouldn't feel guilty either, then.
I know, and that's what everybody tells me.
So you're sort of looking at it from now, from the point of view of the... You see what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
All right, so I have another question. Let's say I don't live in New Orleans, which I don't. What can I do to help?
Educate yourself on more than just one of the reasons why people think it happened. Because when you and I first started talking, you irritated me when you said... typical New Orleans. Yes and no would be my answer. And that's probably why I engaged in the conversation with you, because you irritated me when you said that.
I irritate a lot of people. You're not the only one that would say that, by the way.
So, so many people have reached out to me and asked me what they can do. And I've said, give to the charity you trust and come to...
What would be an example of one?
I don't like to tell people what to give money to.
Right.
I feel like people, if you want to give to a fund for children, we were very lucky that my husband's children are college age and older, but I have coworkers and friends that have lost their homes, have had to move their children out of schools. It really, in any natural disaster, it comes down to the people that are elderly and the children. And, I feel you were talking to me 3 months later, and I've always had hope and determination, but I'm more at peace now because I know my mother has a house to live in, and I know where my uncle's gonna live. And now my husband and I have a place and a goal.
That's not bad. That's not bad after...
Life is good.
Life's coming back.
Life
in other words,
good.
Things are getting
now,
better, not worse.
Did I get depressed this weekend when I realized I would not get one Christmas ornament out of my 20-year collection of Christmas ornaments that include some of my husband's children's handmade stuff with popsicle sticks? And my husband and I were talking the other night about Christmas, and we're like, my sister wants to do Christmas in Baton Rouge, and... So we're going to do Christmas Eve in Baton Rouge, but we're going to go back to New Orleans on Christmas Day. And actually, I don't know if a lot of people are aware of this, it snowed in New Orleans on Christmas Day last year.
Wow.
And my husband and I were supposed to go to Baton Rouge to have Christmas with my sister. And we got on the road too late. And for the first time in my whole life, I spent Christmas at home with my husband, by ourselves with our dog, and my neighbors who live around the corner came over, and we took our dogs in the park and we played in the snow. And my husband and I joke with each other now, we should have known the big one was going to happen because it snowed on Christmas Day. And we were talking about Christmas, and I told my husband the other night, I said, you know what, we'll never have Christmas in our house, but the last one we had, we played in the snow.
That's pretty good.
And it was, and we had so... home is where you have... The thing that's the hardest is not having the pictures of my father, who's deceased. That kind of... The sentimental stuff. A chair that was my father's, his, mine. Just a chair that probably isn't worth more than, $50. It's that. That's what hurts. But we went to go see my in-laws. We went back and did the trip over again that we were on. We just got back last weekend.
Oh, you mean you went to Ponte Vedra?
We went back.
Yeah.
We went back, and everybody that went plus one came. We stayed in the same house. And my in-laws gave us, we had some really nice paintings from them. My in-laws gave us just a little picture to put on the wall. And that meant more than anything because it's the connection. It's something from, it's the handing down. When you lose your home in a flood or a fire or earthquake or tornado, you lose the generations. Because the people are gone, but the memories are through pictures. And I always had my rosary in my bedside table. And the first time we went into the house, I think my husband and I both had mental list of what we were gonna go look for right away. And someone gave us some really good advice. They said, bring someone with you that you don't know very well to help you, because you go into your house and you're totally overwhelmed. And we went in and I had on the knee boots, I had on the suit, I had the respirator with the mask, I had the covering on, and I got someone from where I work to come. Never met this guy. Met him the day I met him on the interstate at a gas station. Got in his truck. He came in with us. He came with me because it was real slippery. At the time, we didn't realize we still had a water line break in our house. So there was still some mud and sludge and slippery. So I would hold on to him when I would walk down the hall. And I didn't cry the first time we went in the house. But the second time we went, I cried the whole time. I didn't sob. It was like someone had turned on a faucet in my eyes. And the tears just streamed. And when you first go back, you can't stay in the house for very long.
What?
Because the stench and the mold is so bad.
Right, yeah.
And we didn't lose any windows. Our house was entombed. And so we had a friend of the family get someone to go break all our windows. So I had photographs of my house, and it looked totally normal, except for the outside looked like, my stepson called it a nuclear winter. Everything is got white dust on it and sludge dried up.
Right.
And so when we got to our house finally in person, everything was broken open. It looked like someone had vandalized it, but they had. We hired somebody so that it could air out. But when we got to our bedroom, which was very difficult, our bedroom door was closed. So it was like a mix master. Everything got floated and mixed around. And like in the bathroom, there was a trash can with a shoe in it at the top.
There was what?
A trash can, a waste paper basket in the bathroom, had a shoe from the closet in it, and it floated in the toilet. Just very bizarre stuff. But then I had a chair on my bedside next to my side of the bed, and I had a stuffed animal on it from when I was like in grade school. I'd had it since I was 12. The bear was in the exact same spot on the chair.
Wow.
But the chair was across the room. It just, but we found my rosary.
Did you?
But it's been eaten up. I got it cleaned, and it's amazing human behavior, what creatures of habit we are. And now in my apartment in Gonzales, my rosary is not sitting in the drawer. It is sitting in a little bowl that I found on the floor in my room. Because, you know, everybody collects little things. I collect little heart-shaped dishes in my heart-shaped dish. So when I go to bed at night, I see my rosary, and that gives me comfort. Little things, isn't it?
Everybody's different.
Yeah.
You know, I've been part of, I mean, the way it sounds to me, I cleaned out a house myself. I moved out of a house, which has now been torn down. I sold the place. And I got four dumpsters, and I just cleaned out everything. I had gotten sick and gotten surgery, came back from surgery. I was in the house, and I felt like I was in a relative's house who had died, and I felt very unattached to the things in the house.
But you got to make a choice.
Oh, absolutely.
Over what you kept and what you didn't.
Absolutely. And it's a different situation. Like I said, everybody's different.
Yeah.
To me, I made a major change in my life and threw away almost everything and moved into a car and drove from California to Massachusetts, and basically all my possessions were in the car.
Yeah.
I put a bunch of stuff into storage, That was 3 years ago, and I haven't been back to storage.
Let me ask you, what did you keep? Do you mind saying?
Yeah, I don't mind saying. Like I said, everybody's different. I didn't keep anything sentimental, and I have dead relatives that I love very much, and I cherish their memories, and I miss them terribly, but the things that they gave me or the things that they had don't do it for me. They don't. And to me, I've come to accept that they died, and I'm not happy about that. But that was one of the reasons why I moved to Florida for four months, because my uncle, who had died recently, he died 2 years ago, suddenly, I didn't get to say goodbye to him. I didn't know it was going to happen, and that's where he lived. And so that was my way of, and I spent a lot of time, when I was in college in New Orleans, he lived right where you were in Ponte Vedra. He lived in Crescent Beach, which was south of St. Augustine, about the same distance. And so I used to go, I drove my car from New Orleans to there like a couple of times, three times every year to go hang out. That was where I went to go sort of play. So I went and stayed there for 4 months, and everywhere I went at first were all the memories of those times. And then after a while, the memories faded, and it became my place.
Yeah.
These became my things, and I feel that in a way that, and you need to manipulate symbols. I find I need, we do.
To manipulate some what?
Symbols.
Symbols.
Symbols of, that well, help every, us get through these things.
I'm a very visual person.
Yeah.
And some people relate emotionally through pictures.
Right.
Or through a rock, or, you know, you could go on a trip where you may have had the most wonderful experience of your life, and you came back with a shell. And you may have that shell with you from a beach trip for the rest of your life, and that symbolizes something for you.
I have some things like that.
Yeah, and it was important to me. One of the other things that I really wanted to find was I just happened to have my father's baby spoon.
Baby what?
Baby spoon.
Right.
And it's a very unique spoon. It's silver plate, and it was in the shape of a stork. And it had a little clock on it and a little scale, and on the scale it had his weight, and on the clock it was the hands were on 7:30, and it had the date and the year he was born.
What year was he born?
1928. And I didn't find that until the third time I went back.
But you did find
it. But I found it.
And you have it.
And I have it.
And it's probably in good shape, right?
No, it's not.
It's not.
But
why not?
Because some of the things that the water sat in corroded it. So most of it, like the spoon part of it, the dipped in part, is black and kind of eaten in, but I don't care.
But maybe it made it more valuable in
it
a way.
Does. For, and
because,
you know,
it went through part of your life too. And that whether you like it or not, that whole experience, well, you know what I'm going to say, and I think you agree, is that that's your life now.
Oh, absolutely. And
right?
And we kept these glass candlestick holders, and they're all chipped and scratched. We live in an apartment in Gonzales, and they're on the kitchen counter, and they're like the symbol of our survival.
Maybe that's a metaphor for the city of New Orleans, too, is that it's been scarred and damaged. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I've not been there. See, I mean, this is, for me, it's fascinating.
I'll tell you what the most bizarre thing is for me.
We're going down, by the way, now,
yeah,
so we're going
to
need the rest
of be on in Orleans Parish. And then to cross a bridge, literally cross a bridge, less than a block long, and be on the other side, and it looks like nothing happened. And one thing I do want to say is I have not been in New Orleans East, which had terrible damage. I haven't been to the Ninth Ward. I haven't been to St. Bernard. There's so many places that I haven't gone yet. So I think you should go to all these
places. I'm going,
places.
Yeah, I will. And you'll find my site. I'll write down my address, the site
yeah,
address.
That'd be great. And keep
and
in touch with me.
Yeah, and you'll see the pictures that I take and
right.
The stories that I file. Maybe I'll interview some other people as well.
Yeah.
But I think that this has been an incredible story
you
tell.
You know, and I hope you can talk to people that have had a different experience from me, because I didn't have to go through the horror that people went through. And I was very maybe it is easier for me to be optimistic because I didn't have that bad taste in my mouth when I left.
Maybe we'll find out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea what else.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay.
So I think I'm going to turn it off now.
Okay, good. Okay. I'm eating my crackers.
Okay, cool. Me too. Thank you.
Okay.